flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It ought to be a rule that you have to play this song at least twice a day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I was going to say we should play it for every break coming back today, baby. Let's go.
That's egregious. But hey, you know what? It'll be stuck in my head the rest of the day like that Dick Ray plumbing commercial, except it'd be Chiefs Kingdom. We are now joined by the only man who can make Chris Jones cry, General Wilson. You'll be the guy that is on the TV getting everybody emotionally ready. Sir, how are you on this wonderful Friday morning? How are you, sir?
Excellent. And that was a great song. It's the Red Kingdom. That was excellent. That's Tech N9ne, right?
That's
right.
It is. That's our guy. Yeah.
So after you say home, after you sing Home of the Brave, just go acapella and just do that. And you know, it's you'll get every 70,000 plus on your side.
I love it. I love it, man. Welcome to the kingdom, brother. That's nice. Honored to be here. Honored to talk to you guys this morning.
Yeah, and the honor's all ours, man. You do an unbelievable job with the national anthem. And as soon as the Chiefs won on Saturday, everybody in the stadium is like, we know who's singing the anthem for the AFC Championship game. And then you go ahead and tweet it out. And I got goosebumps right now just talking to you because you do such an unbelievable job. What's it like for you when you hit that final home of the Brave and the whole place goes Chiefs? Kind of give us your perspective on that.
Well, you know, I expect it now, right? Like the first time years ago that I did that, they warned me, but I didn't think about it because I was thinking about the song and it kind of shook me for a second. And I was like, oh, yeah, they did tell me. In my head, I was like, they told me they were going to say Chiefs. That's cool. So it's an honor, man. Every time I sing it, I know that it's coming. And I give it a little pause for them to get it in a little bit before I say Brave.
There you go.
It's cool. It's cool. It would have been nice. I mentioned this before. It would have been nice if they originally came up with us, you know, singing the anthem and saying Brave, and then they say Chief, like Brave Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Get it?
Yeah.
Brave. You know, but it's cool with me.
So how did you get into this, man? I know you're in the military and all that kind of stuff. How did you start singing national anthems, and what was your first one that you did at a major event?
Well, the first one was here in St. Louis when the St. Louis Rams was here back in 98. So, you know, it's like Georgia Frontier, God rest her soul, she was the owner of the St. Louis Rams, and she seen me sing at a Jack Buck event. And hearkened me over to her table and asked, did I want to sing for the Rams one day? And I said, yeah. So she booked me for that Sunday, which the event was Friday. You know, like, oh, okay. So I ended up doing it, and it allowed me to be well-known here locally. I had already been singing the anthem for retirement ceremonies with admirals and captains within the Navy, you know. And it just made me known here in St. Louis with the St. Louis Cardinals, St. Louis Blues. Back then, it was an indoor soccer team, which was St. Louis Steamers, you know. And then one night, Monday night, they called me that season to because what's her name? I forgot her name. She's a superstar singer.
Mariah Carey.
No. Anyway. She canceled on them, and they called me. I came out to sing, and the rest is history. I did not know it was nationally televised until after I got through singing, and my phone just started blowing up. And then the young lady told me, you know, hey, I forgot to tell you. This was nationally televised. And I was like, ah. Well, thank you. So that's when I became kind of known across the country and started getting all kinds of invites like that.
When you do perform the national anthem, again, we're talking to General Wilson, who will be doing the national anthem at the AFC Championship game this weekend at Arrowhead. When you're doing it at Arrowhead, you know, when you're going through speech classes or you're going through, you know, techniques on how to stay calm and stay focused, I'm sure that when you step on the field the first time, it was probably a little bit more nerve-wracking than it is nowadays since you're, you know, a season-long vet. But, like, when you're in Arrowhead Stadium, do you, like, pinpoint on one location while you're delivering the anthem, or do you kind of just wander your eyes and soak up the moment, or do you kind of, you know, does it, do you close your eye? Like, what goes through that time period when you're delivering that song?
It's like home. I have to tell you, I am, even when I sung for the St. Louis Rams back in 98, I wasn't nervous, and that was because of my upbringing. At 5 years old, I was singing in front of large crowds, leading songs for adult choirs and stuff like that. So I kind of got used to singing in front of a lot of people, right? So singing in the stadium starting off, you would think that I'd be nervous, but I wasn't nervous at all. So getting back to your question with the kingdom, I never nervous. I actually do have a little routine where, you know, I look at Coach, you know, Coach Reed, and he looks at me and we salute real quick right while I'm on stand. And then I just go for what I know. I look at the crowd and look at, you know, how ready they are to sing along with me, and we go for it. So it's, and then once I'm done, I greet everybody on the way out, and that's a blessing for me just to be in contact or contact people that I've never met before, just shake their hand and keep on going, you know?
That's okay. Awesome. I don't know why I'm getting emotional when you said salute Andy Reid and he saluted back. I started to kind of well up a little bit. I'm like, that's pretty damn cool, man.
Yeah, that's like a little thing that we do because I knew him. I sang all, like I told you, I sang all over. So I did the Philadelphia Eagles when he was there as well. So he kind of remembered me there. But we've been doing that ever since, I would say, 6-7 years now.
Good. No, I was going to say, are you going to get a Super Bowl anytime soon?
Well, you know, we've been trying to do that. Someone put out a what do you call that thing when everybody signs it?
Petition?
A petition, yeah. We'd be good on the pyramid. That was good.
Yeah, we would be. Yeah. I mean, they brought back Hollywood Squares. You just got to get the right contact.
So someone did put that out some years ago, and I didn't know who it was. It was some young lady from San Francisco, so that was pretty cool. However, I come to realize or found out that you have to be a Grammy Award winner nowadays. To do that. And I'm like, okay, that's fine, but that is on my bucket list, you know, like even if I get there to sing God Bless America, that would be great, you know, but I just gotta wait on that call. I don't know the procedures, and I don't ask a lot of people, hey, can I come sing, you know. I don't do that. So it's if it comes, it's for me. If it doesn't come, hey, oh well, I've done the kingdom, baby.
That's right. Have you ever accidentally said home of the Chiefs instead of home of the Brave?
Never. Okay. I can't do that.
I know. I'm just messing. I will ask you this, General Wilson, who will be doing the national anthem. I will ask you this before we get you out of here. Do you ever just, like, you know, when you're done singing it and you see the crowd's reaction, like you're walking off, like, man, I just nailed that sucker?
No. There's because there's sometimes when you're singing, we have a mental thought while we're singing, and it's like, hey, I held that note too long, or hey, you know, it's like. Because you have a time limit that you have to do it in, especially when it's televised, and especially when there's a flyover, you have to have it just right with the flyover. So it's more than just singing a song. It's like you gotta, there's intricate parts of making sure that you get it right. So I've never done that. I let the people tell me. It's cool, but I would never say, man, I killed that. That's rock.
So what's the time limit they give you?
1:30, 1:30, 1:30, 1:35, and not 1:35 if they'll, you know, give you a little leeway, but it's really 1:30 when it's television or flyover, and that's really quick, but, you know, you got to do it. Now, I do see Grammy Award winners go a little longer than that, right?
Yeah, love.
Like 2 minutes. I guess, I don't know if they just rebellious and it go past it, or they give them that time. I don't know, but I do know that I have to do what they tell me to do. So it's 1:30 for me.
Mr. Wilson, we appreciate the time. General Wilson, join us here on Fesco and Dusty. Enjoy that national anthem. Enjoy the moment. And again, I'll be like Chris Jones. I'll be watching you crying as a grown-ass man.
Outstanding. Hey, I got one thing for you, though. Don't forget, everybody out there, that we have the G. Wilson bobblehead.
Oh, that's right.
It's out. Yeah.
Where do they get it?
National Bobblehead Hall of Fame and Museum. That's out of Wisconsin. Just type it in. And in the search bar, put Gerald Wilson, and that bobblehead will come up. I'm honored that they created one for me. I'm in a museum. I'm in a Hall of Fame. That's awesome. And this bobblehead is different. You push the button, and it sings my rendition.
Oh.
Isn't that cool?
That is pretty cool,
I'll put yours right next to my Bob Ross bobblehead. Those will be the only two I have. So. Both cool dudes. All right. Well, we appreciate the time, sir. Thank you very much.
Outstanding. Hey, I'm so ready to see everyone. Let's go.
We're ready to hear you. We're ready to hear us. We're ready to have ourselves a time on Sunday.
Daryl Wilson there for the national anthem. I'm going to watch that on the TV because I guarantee you now the first thing I'm going to look for is the salute and the eye contact between he and Andy Reid.
That's what I was going to do.
They'll show it.
Yeah, like in the stadium. I don't know. They show the anthem for these games on TV now.
Yeah.
They do for the championship games.
Yeah.
Okay.
They did it last week, too.
They did do it last week.
Yeah, that's why I bring up the Chris Jones thing, because every time they do it, they go right to Chris Jones, and there's just a gigantic tear. It's like the no Sean Marino from the Super Bowl a couple years back or a long time back, where it's just like...
That's raw emotion, man, though. Like, when he said he saluted Andy Reid, I could feel myself almost getting to that point where you want to, like, you know, start to cry a little bit. You got to kind of hold yourself back. I'm like, damn, him and Andy Reid are doing that kind of... That's pretty cool, man. And so he could be out there singing that anthem. I'll be watching. I'll be making sure him and Andy Reid get their salute in and do their thing, and I mean, the crowd's going to be fired up, man. It's already ready to go.
Very humble individual.
Yeah.
Very, very humble individual. Got that from that that interview. Love that he sang Red Kingdom, though. That's kind of fun. And I knew it was Tech N9ne, like, getting it all into
it.
That
was awesome.
Like, there we go. I love Mac, how he comes up to me in my ear during that interview, and he goes, you know what he said about the national anthem at 1:30?
1:30,
he goes, remember that for the Super Bowl.
Why do you think I asked the question?
Yeah.
Oh, is that why? Hey, great.
Why else would I care how much time they give him to sing the anthem?
It's so interesting either way. I don't know.
Mac's like, hey, man, hey. Remember that for the Super Bowl 1:30?
Everything I do has a reason and a purpose. You just have to figure out what that is. How long does it take you? How long do they give you to sing that anthem? 1:30. Okay, what's the over under here?
Exactly. Why is he writing that in his notes? Sweet.
I'm doing a service for the people. You know, we're governed by the people here, right? We're the people's airwaves.
That's right.
Got to give the people something.
Bill Belichick gave the people something yesterday.
Did you watch some of the things Travis Kelce did and was able to talk to Rob Gronkowski about the way he utilized the run?
100%. 100%. The way Kelce ran with the ball after the catch put it in my mind, like, this is what Rob should be doing.
Mm. How about that?
Well, that just solidifies the GOAT conversation tied in.
I guess. Like, that's Bill Belichick saying he should do things like Kelce, so.
Yep.
Sorry, Gronk. Your own coach is telling us that Travis Kelce's better. So I was watching this clip on X, formerly Twitter, whatever we're calling it today, right? And it was like that Inside the NFL show that he's still part of, I think, on CW? Showtime or CW. Yeah, whatever it is. I think you're right.
I think CW.
I think it is the CW.
At least it's in CW in the state of
Kansas City, Missouri.
That's right. Yes, CW here. So I'm watching this, you know, tape, and he's, you know, showing Gronk and Kelce, and he's you know, breaking down his game film. And Belichick should keep that job, by the way. That's a great recruiting tool to be on TV with those guys and all that kind of stuff. But he was, you know, kind of showing it, and he goes, he's showing, you know, Kelce, and he's showing Gronk, and he's like, this is what, you know, Gronk is doing. That's like Travis Kelce. Look how he got those extra 3 or 4 yards just by kind of being like Travis Kelce. And I'm like, finally, we're getting the answer to the question that Travis Kelce is the best. And to hear the head coach Bill Belichick talk like that about Travis Kelce, man, that's why right there. Travis Kelce really never did much against New England because they always took him out of the game plan. Nobody else could figure that out. But Bill Belichick's like, hey, Gronk, go watch Travis and be more like him, would you?
Yeah, I think it's funny that the conversation, because remember when Travis Kelce, the conversation was, well, he doesn't block.
Right.
We haven't heard that in like 4 years.
No, because he's winning Super Bowls now. Yeah, and George Kittle isn't. Yeah, that was always the knock against Travis Kelce. And we used to talk about it all the time, Josh and I. Like, I don't care if my wide receiver can block downfield. who the hell? That's not why you're in the NFL, to block downfield. You know, it's like, well, he's got, you know, he can, you know, play shortstop and he makes great plays, but he hits 067. Well, we kind of need you to do both here, right? Like, blocking downfield is so low on the things that I need my tight end or wide receiver to do. Mm-hmm. And that was always just a big excuse by the football nerds to give Rob Gronkowski and George Kittle the opportunity to be over Travis Kelce. But none of those guys are changing games today like Travis Kelce is changing games today.
Some positions on defense that could be affected by Travis Kelce. Bills safety Taylor Rapp didn't practice for the second straight day yesterday, shaping up as a big moment for a rookie Cole Bishop to start for Rapp Sunday versus the Chiefs. Also, linebacker Matt Milano with his hamstring soreness and Christian Benford concussion protocol practiced again. They are continuing to make good progress, but there could be a rookie at safety.
Yeah.
Mac is starting to get in his head of like where the nerdisms go for what he likes, but you got to think Kelce is somebody here. Safety is a big position that covers tight end. I know that they've said they want to put Milano on him, but again, what's Milano's burst and turbo pack? Is it, you know, can you only use little spurts of it before it runs out, or can it be there all game with that hamstring soreness? I don't care who you are, what you do for a living. If you're an accountant, if you're a sales rep, if you're a radio host or an athlete, you tweak your hamstring, it's always on your mind, and it's always there. So do you use that as a matchup, or is this where you let the speedsters go crazy over the middle?
And that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. I think the speedsters are going to go crazy over the middle. I think this could be a Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy type of game. I mean, Rapp's a good player, right? And he's not going to be in that game. And not only are you removing a good player, now you're starting a rookie in an AFC championship game on the road against, and I know Xavier Worthy's a rookie at all, but it's a wide receiver versus safety, right?
Like, he started all season.
Yeah, exactly. He's not a rookie anymore. He's a sophomore, as they like to say at this time of the year, but he's a guy that I think could have a big day. I think Hollywood Brown could have a big day as well. If they're going out there and torching a rookie safety, man, that's going to be a lot of fun. And that's going to be the deep ball that everybody's been looking for. Like, where's the deep ball been all year? Well, here we go. Now we got a rookie safety up over the top touchdown. See you later.
The other thing that kind of goes to it is like your offensive line theory, where in the season, you know, guys get worse because they have to pull the weight for somebody else. Mm-hmm. If that corner on the side of a rookie safety is like, oh no, I've got to make sure you get in that side of the field too.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not going to sit here and try to put together what the Chiefs game plan is, but you know, Gold yesterday and Golden Locke said they're going to move the ball. Mm-hmm. He's like, they're going to move the ball against Buffalo. This isn't, you know, 2 years ago, Buffalo's defense, 3 years ago, Buffalo's defense. This is a different team today. And with a little banged up, and again, we go back to why it's so important to get that bye week. Yeah, they had to play Denver, and they blew the bricks off of them,
right.
But they still had to play that game. They didn't rest anybody till the fourth quarter, and then they had to play Baltimore, whereas the Chiefs had to play Houston, tough game, but they didn't have to play the game prior.
Right.
They didn't have to travel. They had to go to their own facility. They got to go to their own house. They had to go in their own bed. Buffalo is now seeing what you have to do to go on the road, and that's why this is that much tougher for the Buffalo Bills, let alone injury report-wise, and not so much for the Chiefs. Chiefs, zero injuries. Everybody's practicing. The only people that don't practice are Mecole Hardman, and the only thing that was really of a glimmish or a blemish of anything was Mahomes' ankle, but that's just because it's protocol. It's like, well, it's
there's no concern. I talked to enough people over the last couple of days.
Even if
it
was one leg, it would be no concern.
No concern.
We've seen this before.
But I know how people react. Oh, my God, Mahomes is on the injury report. Did you, and like that, you know, that becomes the buzzword, and people start talking about that, but that's not an issue that you need to concern yourself with. And I do like the trickle-down effect of the corner back, Dusty, because you're right. Like, now all of a sudden the corner's looking like, I don't know if this guy can play back here, and all of a sudden he's getting torched, and now the cornerback position becomes weak because he's trying to do the safety's job as well. And
well, think about when Sorensen was here.
Yeah.
Right? It was like, well, I don't know if he's going to get cooked. I don't know if he's going to know to break off at the right time, and now I've got to second guess my job.
Right, exactly.
Well, and that was with good corners. Like, the Bills don't have good corners already. Now
what's
you get rid
name
of the safeties.
Ty Johnson? Is that his, that's not his name?
Taron Johnson.
Taron Johnson.
Taron Johnson.
He's their best guy.
He's their best guy.
He's good.
He is good. Taylor Rapp's good too.
Yeah,
but he may not be playing.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he may not be playing, and so now you've got two of your four defensive backs that you say are good. Now you're down to one of your four defensive backs that you say are good, and then you got this Matt Milano, this Pepperidge Farm cookie guy in the middle here.
They really are.
They are a nice
whole
cookie
thing.
Yeah.
You really can.
Yeah, the Chesapeake
$12.99.
The Chesapeake ones are good too. I think they're called Chesapeake Chunk Cookies or something. Yeah, but you're right. Yeah, four cookies for $75.
That's right.
It's the only cookie that's more than Girl Scout cookies.
It's like getting the Snickers ice cream bars. It's like four bars. $12.
That's right.
Make it make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I mean, my goodness. But yeah, I mean.
But they're in my cart.
Yeah. We got to buy them. Here they are. You know, go to Twisted Sugar, get that peanut butter Nutella cookie. I'm telling you. Woo, baby. But yeah, the Pepperidge Farm Milano cookie is expensive, and he's an expensive player that has never, ever been there in the moment when they've needed him against Travis Kelce. I've been hearing about this Matt Milano guy for years now against Travis Kelce, and I've yet to see it. So until I see Matt Milano out there on the field, who the hell knows what this guy can do?
You'll hear our intro again, and you'll hear a play in there. You know who got that double move in the 13-second game in overtime? That
Matt was Milano. Was yeah. it Milano? There you go. All right.
He got so
Pepperidge
crossed
Farm
up.
Pepperidge Farm remembers Matt Milano.
If you go watch that play again, he gets so crossed up that when they show it from the angle of outside the end zone in the corner and Kelce knows that the ball's coming back to his inside shoulder, Milano's legs are literally like crossed and he just falls down.
In Milano's defense, he probably had his shoulder pads and helmets already put away with 13 seconds to go and had to put that back on and go, oh my God, we're still playing, and then trying to recover from that, forget about it.
Yeah, I just watched that game yesterday. Not the game, I watched like the highlighted version, like they started in the second half, and yeah, they showed that corner. I'm like, somebody said that Milano on the text line was guarding Kelce in the 13-second game, and I was like, okay, and then they showed the overtime play, and I was like, inside, outside,
you said that wrong. Told to guard Travis Kelce. He went guarding Travis Kelce.
Okay. Yeah, well, good luck coming up on Sunday. Coming up on the other side,